Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
All right, hey everybody, welcome to the Casual Comics Cast. It's me, your Casual Comics host, Joe, and today I've got Jeff with me for a spooky Halloween episode.
Hi everybody, ooh.
You're spooky, not Crypt Keeper. It's your other,
yeah.
It's your other boy. Although you get your Dr. Sanguinary Creature feature shirt on today, I appreciate that.
Just got it in the mail yesterday.
Do you want to fill people in who listen who don't know who Dr.
Dr. Sanguinary was the local horror host in Omaha in the 70s and 80s. Every big major market had a local horror host. And right. Ours was a guy named John Jones who worked at the KMT Channel 3 station. And he did the bit for years, and then unfortunately he got ill.
I remember growing up watching Dr. Sanguinary, and I mostly remember being really little and my parents convincing me that if I would just lay down in bed, they would wake me up when Dr. Sanguinary came on. And somehow they said they tried to wake me up every time. They're like, you refused to wake up. You were just too tired. You were too sound asleep. I was like a really sound sleeper when I was a kid, apparently.
Right. Uh-huh. Big wink. Uh-huh. Sure.
So today we're going to, you know, I conned Jeff a little bit into watching a movie that I've been wanting to watch for a while with the promise that we'll review some Army of Darkness comic book. The story of Ash... I forget Ash's last name.
Ash
Simpson.
Oh, give me a minute. Ashford and Simpson?
For those who don't know, the saga of Ash and the Evil Dead began in the movie Evil Dead. So, Jeff, you've never seen Army of Darkness, all right?
I have seen Evil Dead. I have seen Ed 2. And then when I saw that Army of Darkness was kind of a sword and sorcery fantasy kind of a thing, it looked like, my flags went up and I'm like, nope, can't do sword and sorcery fantasy stuff.
This was just kind of, though, in the wheelhouse of your movie heyday, right? This would have come out about the time you were working in a video store. I don't remember. Maybe it was a little after that.
Just a little after.
Yeah. Okay. But so, you know, this is a gap in your movie knowledge. This is either going to go spectacularly well or spectacularly poorly. It's an experiment because I don't know what we're going to do if you watch this movie and hate it. And then we got to go read some Army of Darkness comic books. Fill me in. Like, so you saw Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead, when?
I saw Evil Dead probably in the early 90s.
Okay.
My girlfriend and I watched it late at night with the lights out. And it scared the living daylights out of me. I was terrified by this.
It was. It is a scary movie. It's billed as what the ultimate in terror.
As every horror film is.
But, you know, I'm not going to get too deep. I'm going to assume, for the sake of this podcast, that if you're listening, Evil Dead, Evil 2, Army of Sam Raimi, who directed my favorite Marvel movie, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
But this is where Sam cut his teeth. With his buddy Bruce Campbell and Rob Tappert, the producer. So you watched that, I assume, probably on cable, maybe on
video, yeah.
And then how much longer was it until you saw Evil?
Not very much longer because I loved the first movie. And I'm thinking, okay, great. Give me more of this. This is going to be fantastic. And then I watched.
Really? So you were not a fan of it?
Evil Dead 2 was basically the same story, although this time they brought their love of the Three Stooges to it, and they right. made it into a slapstick comedy, and I couldn't understand it. You had this wonderful, just terrifying movie, and you turned it into a joke. I didn't get it.
See, I saw it in the reverse order, which is probably why we had a different experience. I was working the graveyard shift at a telemark, and I came home, and you know, they used to pay triple hours if you'd sign up for like a midnight to 2 a.m., just for a couple hours, and being right. you know, in college, and I came home. And I thought, I'm what, like 18? I wasn't a horror movie fan at the time. I didn't care for horror movies. And I'm like, I am just going to throw on HBO right now and eat pizza rolls, which was then I'm going to go to bed.
The best.
Because when you're 18, you can do some Mountain Dew and pizza rolls and then immediately go to bed and be fine.
Yep.
And not have heartburn forever. And I turned it on and it was the opening. Evil Dead 2 was just starting. I had no idea what it was. Knew nothing about it. And it's the animation they're talking about, Book of the Dead, and it's all filling in. And I was like, this seems pretty bad. And my pizza rolls are warming up, and I'm like, I'm just going to watch this till I'm done eating. And so that's how I watched the movie. Like, for the first good 20 minutes, I was like, I'm just about to turn this off. I'm like, this acting is bad. They're in the car, driving down the road. It's like, yeah, corny joke. this is bad. I'm going to turn it off. But then every time I was about to turn it off, something interesting would happen. Like the interesting shot of when they pull up to the cabin in the woods. It's like, that's different. That's interesting. And just, I kept going, now it's stupid again. I kept thinking I'm about to turn this off. And then after about, it had to be like, it was probably the scene in the shed where he, like, his girlfriend's reanimated corpse. I'm like, all right, I know what I'm in for now. This is just goofy. This is not supposed to be serious. I'm in. I'm going to watch the rest of this movie. And then I went and I couldn't believe it. You know, I go to bed at like 3:30, 4 in the morning. Next night, I'm like, I got to see what that was because I don't even know what I watched still. I rented it. I watched it again and I just loved it. And then I saw Evil Dead and I'm like, oh, so it was a scary horror movie. And then these guys remade the exact same movie, but as a comedy. And I kind of liked the comedy version better.
Because you saw it first.
Right.
Right.
So now you've had some distance you've put behind you between mm-hmm. Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2. Your disappointment in it. You didn't see Army of Darkness when it came out in, what, 92, 93? Sure. And it was, you didn't want to see it because you didn't like Evil Dead 2. And then what else did you about?
Well, I mean, they throw him back in time. He ends up in medieval time.
Which is how Evil Dead 2 ends.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like going, well, that's just the weirdest choice. I don't know. Why did they do that? And then I saw
the original working title of the movie was The Medieval Dead.
Okay, points scored. Yeah, and I just, you know, anytime you get into anything medieval times, or it just turned off immediately.
So what are you expecting?
Now I'm coming in mind, and I'm going to say I'm expecting some good laughs, some horrible and yet wonderful stop motion anime, and Ash kicking ass against Deadites. Which I love.
It's the premise.
Yeah.
So I think you got it. So hopefully your expectations are calibrated correctly. We're going to take a break here. We're actually going to go watch Army of Darkness right now.
Yep.
Then we will be back and you can tell everybody what you thought of Army of Darkness.
Sounds like a plan.
In an age of darkness.
May God have mercy upon your souls.
Something's wrong. Something's amiss.
And a time of evil.
You shall die!
When the world needed a hero.
Just swallow our souls!
I don't want to die!
What it got was him.
Groovy. You know your shoelace is untied.
He's a 20th century guy.
For that arrogance, I shall see you dead.
Trapped. In the Middle Ages.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up. This is my boomstick!
Now, let's talk about how I get back home.
Foretold by a mystical book.
Within its pages are passages that can send you back to your time.
Forewarned by a wise man.
You must recite the words, Klaatu, Berata, Nictu.
I got it!
Fulfilled by a wise guy.
Klaatu, Berata, Nictu!
When the army spoke the words, the army of the dead awoke.
Now, he's got a date.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Sheila! With the Army of Darkness.
You found me beautiful once.
Honey, you got real ugly.
Sound the trumpets. Raise the drawbridge.
Hey, look out!
Drop the Oldsmobile. From Sam Raimi.
Oh, that's gotta hurt!
Director of Darkman. Comes Army of Darkness. They live. They breathe. They suck. Army of Darkness.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us through the break. In that short amount of time, Jeff and I... Well, not only did we get better audio quality, but we watched Army of Darkness.
So we Jeff, sure did.
And your verdict is?
Not as horrible as I thought it was going to be 30 years ago when I refused to watch it.
Hey, what do you know? Big win.
Yeah, no, I had fun with it, except for certain parts, but that's just how the filmmakers are. It's what they do, but it was fun, still fun. I liked it.
I mean... You care to like so the movie starts, right? And I think you knew some of the lore of the movie, it sounded like.
Oh, yeah.
As it started. You knew it was originally called Bruce Campbell versus Army of Darkness. Although, were you genuinely surprised when I told you the original title was The Medieval Dead?
I love that title. Not sure why they didn't go with that.
Should have stuck with it. But, you know, the movie opens with the whole, you pointed it out, retelling of the Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2.
Because they have to.
Right. Recap it for the audience. Starts with Ash at S-Mart. And so which parts of the movie were you already, like, from being a comic book sort of science fiction movie fan, like, what were you already familiar with from what you watched?
As far as Evil Dead is concerned?
No, from Army of Darkness.
The Army movie. Of Darkness itself. I knew that it was set back in medieval times, because that's right. How they leave it at the end of Evil Dead 2.
You knew S-Mart.
Yeah, I knew about S-Mart. I mean, I guess I've seen little clips and things, and I've picked up on things over the years, just reading articles and you know, things whenever it comes up. So I wasn't totally unfamiliar with it. I didn't know what the story was.
Okay.
You know, the whole quest and all of that. But I was aware enough to where it wasn't totally unfamiliar going in.
It really goes from a horror movie to a swords and sandals epic
story. I got to tell you, the very first shot of the scene with Ash walking in shackles, right there, I knew that there was more money put into this movie. I mean, the catering budget on this movie was probably more than the total budgets for the first two films combined.
It had to be, but it still showed around the edges, like, you know, the classic qualities. And I wonder how much of those budget versus how much of that was, you know, just the aesthetic that Sam Raimi was looking for. Because, you know, you said, hey, going into it, you expected there to be Three Stooges level humor. And
there was.
Stop motion. There's a lot of stop
motion. There was.
Right. And there's a lot of that. And you thought it was going to be a medieval, like, sort of swords and fantasy movie. And it was, in a way.
It was ish. Yeah. It wasn't full on Lord of the Rings kind of stuff.
No, it's a simple story. So it looks like the original budget was $11 million.
Again, more than the first two.
Way more than the first two. Grossed $4.4 million in theaters.
Oh, that's not good.
I have a feeling they've made up for it on video.
I hope so. Good.
They've had hundreds of DVD releases. There's special editions. There's the chainsaw edition. There's the out of gas edition. There's all kinds of different. If you like literally anything you want, you can find a version of the movie. You can find it on the budget with no frills. You can find it with all the frills. I think at one point I had like a three DVD disc set with a lot of extras and behind the scenes. You know, and it's a tight movie. It's only 82 minute runtime.
Yeah. I was very surprised. It didn't leave me yawning at all. It kept going.
You get a lot of set pieces, a lot of gags.
Mm-hmm.
Any in particular that you were fond of?
As far as gags or set pieces?
Both.
The set piece of the pit, I rather enjoyed.
Yeah.
It's
a good way to set up the movie right from the beginning.
Yeah.
You're not sure where you're going with Ash staggering in, being captured. Obviously, two armies at war.
And he's dropped in the middle of it.
And you get everything. They set it up really well because you get kind of everything you need from him and from how his character's in the whole movie. Just something, I don't even know this a-hole. Tell him. And then they drop him in the pit, and it's just Ash back to fighting. I think they call it the Pit Witch in the credits.
Nice. And was that Patricia Tallman?
I don't know. You were more familiar with a couple of those actors than I was.
Patricia Tallman was in the remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Okay.
She was the main woman in that. And then Ian Abercrombie as the not quite wizard, but the sage,
right?
For the army there. He's the guy who ended up being, as you pointed out, Elaine Bennis's boss on Seinfeld. I mean, not an A-list celebrity, but certainly you see him, you go, hey, that guy.
That guy. You seemed a little surprised when Ash was assigned the three words, the magic words in the graveyard.
Oh, what are the odds that those would actually be a phrase way back in medieval times?
You want to give us the deep voice intonation?
Klaatu barata nictu. Or Klaatu barata nictu. More or less, I said them, you know.
All right. Maybe which not every syllable.
Which, of course, is from The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Right. It's either a classic movie homage or the most incredible coincidence.
I know, right?
So, gags. But you're right. Sorry, before I go to gags, I will go back to the set piece, because that's brilliant. It sort of sets up the movie, and it sets up Ash as a different type of character, too, than from Evil Dead, where he's mostly put upon and has no idea what's going on, to this is the moment of transformation, where he kind of wraps his head around that his life is crappy.
Yeah.
And he goes from almost like this cabin in the woods survivor to action Indiana Jones type star, whipping his belt around the chain and riding it up the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, he's super capable and heroic.
Right. And not just, oh my God, what's happening next? Okay, I'll try this. Wow, that worked. Okay, what am I going to do? Yeah. And he just becomes really confident. And I sat there watching him, and I thought to myself, why wasn't he a bigger star? He's so great on screen.
I know. He went from this to, I think, what, Briscoe County Jr. And
which, you know, did fairly well.
Yeah. If you haven't read his autobiography, I highly recommend it. If Chins Could Kill, Confessions of a B-Movie Actor.
Love it.
But yeah, he's got a lot of confidence as an actor in the film. He's got really great screen presence. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I think he's just got his own. He's more of a movie star than an actor. And maybe he just got pigeonholed into this one role that people only saw him one way.
Yeah. But he's good. I've seen him in other things and I've really enjoyed him.
Have you seen him in anything where he's really just not kind of Bruce Campbell?
It's been a long time since I've seen Bubba Ho-Tep.
Yep.
But I didn't think that he was just being Bruce Campbell in that movie. I mean, he's playing Elvis, right?
That's true.
Or that's true. Maybe Elvis.
Maybe.
Not sure, but.
Another great movie for another time, because we can read those comics too later.
Oh, I bet there's tons.
What were some of the gags that stood out to you?
Wow. Okay. This is where we have long pauses.
Don't worry. We'll clean that up later.
Some of the gags. I loved the the car.
Yeah.
Because it's the car, right? It's Raimi's car. It's in every one of his movies.
Yeah.
And how they decked it out or got it even running after what happens to it in the opening shot of the movie.
Right.
I don't know. But it was fun. And the guy's poking at it with swords like it's a beast of some kind.
Yeah, that car kind of becomes its own thing through not only the filmography of Sam Raimi, but in this movie. And that's what I think I appreciated most about this movie. You know, I don't know that we need to spend a ton of time. I'm assuming most people who have who are listening know of Evil Dead and Army of Darkness.
And after 30 years have seen this movie.
Right. But this movie is sort of the pivotal that launches the comic book franchise more than the movie franchise, because this was the last movie in the movie franchise until the recent Starz TV series, which you say you've seen some of. And I actually am glad. I'm kind of glad they didn't do another couple movies, because that Starz TV series is a much better continuation of the story than any movie would have been.
Yeah, they did have that remake, not too long ago, but that really didn't have anything so much to do with the characters in this film or in the original trilogy, from what I understand. I've never seen it, and but the series was wonderful, because it's Ash being confident and cocky and stupid all at the same time, and it's everything you love, and it just keeps going.
They talk about crossing the new Evil Dead franchise with the old one, and I'm like, nah, don't.
Did you see the new one?
I did not. Did you?
No, okay. No. It looked a bit too graphic for me.
I think so, because what I started to enjoy about the Evil Dead franchise is the Ash that you see in Army of Darkness that continues in the Starz series, where he is just a brash, arrogant, cocky dude, and the violence gets more cartoonish than actually real and graphic.
Right. And that was what in the trailers for that remake movie, I'm like, oh, ye gods, what the hell are you doing? I don't want to watch that. That's disgusting. But like you say, it's all comic book violence. It's
Tom and Jerry level, to where like Ash in Army of Darkness gets his face on a hot stove and it's sizzling there. And he has to wind up getting a spatula or a small shovel and scraping it off. But once it pops up, he's like, burr. And there's not even any scarring on his face.
No, nothing at all.
He drinks a whole kettle of hot water to boil the thing that's in his stomach, but it doesn't like blister his whole tongue and lips and everything, right?
Right. Exactly.
It's just very much like Tom and Jerry. The physics make no sense and it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie is that connecting point between where Evil Dead 2 even was and where that franchise ultimately became super popular in both comic books and in other media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And apparently there have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Evil Dead comics. I was not aware of this.
Yeah. And so we're going to take a break and talk about that here in a second. And I think, that is what you'll see as we get into the comic books, is that this thread drags through, because at one point you asked me, you were like, you kind of looked at me like, how does Ash know how to make gunpowder, right? This is dummy that probably has never stepped foot on a college campus. He's got his like high school textbook, chemistry 101, and he's outfitting his car with steam power and such. It's like, the way I describe it is, this movie is the origin story of Ash as a superhero whose only real power is, if there's a deadite to be killed, he magically just knows what to do to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a bit like Guillermo in What We Do in the Shadows. It's innate. It's in him. He knows how to do it.
Right. If it takes figuring out a way to make gunpowder medieval, he'll just magically know how to do that.
Or constructing a mechanical bionic glove. Sure. Okay. He knows that.
Which was great, because it was one of those tiny callbacks to the previous movie that I think people like, him constructing that, similar to the way he constructed the chainsaw hand. But yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
But in the bizarre, wacky cartoon logic of the world, yeah, it does.
It makes perfect sense in that logic, because it's what we want to do, so we're just gonna do it.
Right. All right. Well, I'm glad we got to watch the movie and catch up on that, Jeff. And then let's take our break now. And when we come back, we will talk about the comic series, especially the comic that we read, which was Army of Darkness Reanimator Necronomicon Rising. Is that the full title?
Right. Yeah, I believe so.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. Yay, chicken!
All right. Welcome back to the spooky edition of the Casual Comics Cast, Army of Darkness special edition. I was waiting for your swallow your soul.
I don't know, though. I can't quote the movie as well as you can.
You have
an innate ability to see something once and remember all of the great lines.
Not so much anymore. It's just the classics. I mean, it's such an eminently quotable movie, Army of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some lines in there that are just like, there's on t-shirts now.
Yeah.
Hail to the
Give
King,
me some
baby.
Sugar, baby.
Right. Such a buffoon. So we're talking about, you know, one of my favorite characters, Ash Williams, through other media. We've talked about the movies, Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, touched briefly on, you know, the Starz series, which, if you haven't seen Ash versus Evil Dead, I thought it was fantastic, a great way to pick up. And we're going to talk now about the comic books, because almost immediately after Army of Darkness, the movie comes out, the publisher starts snapping up the rights to make comics. So we talked about it. The film came out in 1992, Army of Darkness, and Dark Horse Comics published a film adaptation that same year. They adapted the script and made it into a series. The next series was called Ashes to Ashes, which literally picks up right at the end of the film. So the plot of Ashes to Ashes is the Wizard of Army of Darkness, Elaine's boss from Seinfeld, goes to Ashes time and it says, hey, you're still not in your right time. You're actually right now, you think you're in the present. This is right before you actually go into the woods. for the first Evil Dead movie.
Oh, wow.
And so he has to go back into the woods to fight the evil again, and he encounters himself from the present, which is why it's called Ashes to Ashes. There's two of them. And then Evil Ash shows up again. So they literally just start spinning these comics out because you've got this hero that's larger than life. He is kind of a comic book action hero in the movie.
Absolutely.
And so I'm just going to run down. It's like this series, and they did an Army of Darkness versus Reanimator back then. Ash versus Dracula, The Death of Ash, The Long Road Home, Home Sweet Hell, King for a Day, Hellbillies and Deadnecks, Montezuma's Revenge. Like, you literally get through hundreds. You get to the fourth series. The fourth series comes out in 2013. It's Ash and the Army of Darkness, 1-8. Army of Darkness, Ash gets hitched, 1-4. Ash in Space, 1-5.
Because, you know, they eventually have to do that.
Yeah. And they just keep going because it's a character that lends itself to comic books.
Absolutely. He's fantastic. He's so much fun just being stupid and yet competent at the same time.
And so the book we read is from just this year. They're still publishing it. It's a 6-issue limited series. And
seriously,
I just was up at Dragon's Lair today. Mm-hmm. And either issue 4 or 5 just hit the new comic rack today. So it's not even done yet. This is one of the most current comics we've ever talked about, Jeff. Like, we keep going back in time, you and I, on some of these. But this
is especially with me. Those are the comics I know.
Right. This is the Army of Darkness versus Reanimator, written by Eric Burnham with art by Eamon.
Sure.
Casalos. I should actually research the pronunciation of these names before we start. But it's Army of Darkness versus Reanimator Necronomicon Rising from Dynamite Publishing. Dynamite is a publisher that owns just a lot of licensed properties. I mean, a lot of licensed comic series.
Like Harvey back in the day?
Kind of, except more violent.
Or Gold Key. I should say Gold Key, Gold not Key. Harvey.
Yeah. And Reanimator, I think, this was a franchise you really liked, right?
I love Reanimator. I have loved it since the very first time I saw it. Although now, looking at it, there's some cringy stuff in it, but it's a great film.
I still have a poster right in the room next to me that you gave me a long time ago because I think your wife wouldn't let you keep it in your house.
Oh, you still have that?
Yeah, the Reanimator poster.
Oh, Herbert West has a good head on his shoulders and another one in a dish on his desk.
I've moved it across like 3 or 4 houses now, so it's not in as pristine of condition as it was when you gave it to me zap-wrapped.
Yeah, yeah. I always wondered what happened to that. I forgot I gave it to you.
Zap-wrapping was a thing.
Yeah. Let's shrink-wrap your poster to a piece of corkboard.
Hey, it kept it in good condition for a long time.
Yeah.
I will say that. And so, do you want to give the audience, for those who haven't seen Reanimator, a quick recap of Reanimator?
Okay.
As much as you can. Herbert, it's
quickly.
Based off of...
Let's go
loosely,
quick.
Loosely based on H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah. Stuart Gordon was a theater director, and I believe this was his first movie. They adapted Herbert West Reanimator short story from H.P. Lovecraft. But they set it in contemporary times, which at this point would have been the mid-80s. And first-time director, not knowing what you can and can't do, he did everything. He went overboard with this movie. It is so graphic, and it is so disgusting, and it is so wonderfully fun. Herbert West is developing a serum by which he can reanimate corpses, but it's not just turning him into zombies. He really wants to conquer death. He wants to figure it out, and he wants to find the key to eternity. Problem, his reagent causes incredibly violent reactions in any of the bodies that he reanimates, and hilarity ensues.
And sometimes exploding eyeballs.
Sometimes exploding eyeballs, sometimes exploding intestines, whatever.
It's almost like Frankenstein on crack, because he is trying to bring the dead back to life, but he has such a bizarre intensity and a complete, like, not even a shred of I wonder if this could go bad in any way.
Nope.
Before he does it, he just invents the reagent and he starts injecting it into crap.
Yeah,
I wonder what
will
happen if I do this.
I don't know
parts, pieces, doesn't matter. And yeah, I can't tell you how much I love this movie. Reanimator
is not a really funny movie. It's not.
Oh, yes, comical. It is. It's a black comedy. It's a very, very, very black comedy.
I'll say you're right. It's a black comedy, but it's not a gag based. It's not
like
Evil Dead, Army of Darkness
schtick. No.
What do you like the Three Stooges type humor? What do you like?
Slapstick.
There's not a slapstick or physical comedy. Yeah. It's very dark humor. I guess the second one gets a little bit more, but it's still very black and it's more like just macabre. And weird.
To be fair,
a human head fly around with bat wings attached to it.
To be fair, I love the first movie. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Not so much the other two. Not so much a fan of the other two.
So
because Stuart Gordon wasn't really directly involved. Brian Yuzna took over and they're just not the same.
Yeah, I can see that. Was that who distributed and released that? The second one?
Was it Full Moon?
I was going to say Full Moon, but it probably isn't. I can look while we talk before.
It's about that caliber anyway.
Yeah. I mean, for those who haven't seen the first Reanimator, if you got a strong stomach and a weird sense of humor, it's worth at least watch the YouTube videos of the commercials they used to run in the 80s on like local channels. Like
there were commercials for this movie.
Oh, and they were basically what you would expect. They're like, prepare to like vomit and stuff like that. Come see Reanimator. It was just like this shock of like you won't be able to believe what you're seeing on a screen. It was like late night, 1 a.m. really grainy VHS copies that I've seen on YouTube. So then you think to yourself, how are they going to cross these two series together? I felt like, you know, reading this comic, I've read a lot of Army of Darkness comics with Ash in them. And they're usually pretty broad, pretty slapsticky, pretty like him wisecracking, the Deadites finding some creepy, crazy way to. I believe there's actually a crossover with Marvel Comics where they talk about the Deadites being, it's like this Marvel Zombies / Army of Darkness crossover. The Necronomicon just winds up flowing through time and it's always causing problems. Somebody's got the Necronomicon and Ash is the only one that can stop the Necronomicon. But they talk about it, it's like the Deadites are somehow in the Marvel version, like inspired by Loki or whatever is the god, the trickster god. Because these Deadites, that's what they are. They're tricksters. Like they're killing everybody, except when it's Ash, they just love to torture that dude. They can't kill him for some reason, but they can cause him intense physical and mental anguish. So that's what they live for, but they're already dead.
Well, there you go. Hey, in the Marvel crossovers, how did they reconcile the Necronomicon Ex Mortis with the Darkhold?
I'd have to go back and reread it. I feel like they were somehow related. I just remember like
multiverse variants of each other.
Well, it was the Marvel crossover was with the Marvel Zombies, which if you saw the What If series that had Marvel Zombies, that's its own pocket universe. That's part of the Marvel Zombies is its own beast. It's written by Robert Kirkman. If you're a fan of The Walking Dead, it's this crossover, and Reed Richards finds another Reed Richards in an alternate universe. And he doesn't realize that Reed Richards is reaching out because they're all zombies and they've eaten everybody on that planet. And they're trying to find another part of the multiverse to eat more people.
But like, they don't like Reed because he's too chewy.
Well, no, it's that Reed is a zombie by that point. The only people left are the superheroes because they were so strong. They ate everybody else. And they're like, crap, now we got to go find someplace else to go eat people. it's a pretty violent comic book and pretty twisted in its own way, but I feel like they talked about like Doom had they needed the Necronomicon to stop the zombie plague like always or something, and Doom had it in his castle in Latveria and so they were trying to get it. I don't remember.
Okay,
anyway, I don't know how they would cross it over the Darkhold. I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah,
it's a good question though for another day. Maybe we'll do a Marvel Zombies crossover next year at Halloween. So in this one, in the Army of Darkness versus Reanimator, Necronomicon Rising, number one, you get an ancient dig site. Never good. They added them ancient dig sites, especially if you find just a head.
Yeah. Perfectly preserved.
Like, perfectly preserved head. You know what we should do? Disinter this, take it somewhere. And they get to where do they take it? To Herbert West. And
he takes it back to Miskatonic University.
Miskatonic University, right.
And Herbert West gets wind of the fact that this thing is there. And he's like, perfectly preserved? And of course, you know, when he does that, he's going to stick his needle in that thing and make it come back to life.
Which is sort of his MO.
Yeah.
If I find something I don't know what it is, I'm going to juice it up with reagent and see what happens to it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's kind of irresponsible.
And what is that head, Joe?
The head is revealed. It's like a dramatic flourish where it's sitting on the table, like under a napkin. Uh-huh. And it is the head of Bad Ash.
Bad Ash.
Good Ash. Bad Ash.
I'm the one. Whatever that was, give me a gallon of it, baby.
Right? And it continues that whole like wisecracking. It's a clever way to bring the two franchises together.
Mm-hmm.
Scientific theory, take to Miskatonic. Who's there? Herbert West. What does he always do? Experiments on stuff you shouldn't be experimenting on. Right. And he jabs the Bad Ash head with the reagent. And now all that's left is for somebody to tell Ash, we need you to stop this thing again.
Uh-huh. And the head starts sprouting feet and hands. And
what did you think of that?
Basically reforms into Bad Ash in front of him, because there's not just like the reagent involved, but there's magic involved as well.
Right. The ancient Sumerian from the Book of the Dead.
Right.
The hand comes out from the neck and it's just one. He's kind of walking around on it. Then the second, then the feet. And then Herbert West is like, the reagent can't regrow clothes.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Magic in there too. What did you think of that like whole reanimation scene?
You know, I read it in the voice of the actors from both franchises.
Yeah.
And it played out beautifully in my head. It was just, I could hear them saying it. I could hear Jeffrey Combs. I could hear Bruce Campbell. And I'm like, you know, this shouldn't work, but I love it. I love this.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, because I do feel like it is. This book itself is very true to both franchises. So if you're a fan of either Evil Dead Army of Darkness or Reanimator or both, I think this book will have something for you. You get everything that you need. You get the Ash fighting Deadites in the cafe. You get the reanimated head. Bad Ash is back. Herbert West, he's messing things up. And then still, after what did we just list? Hundreds of comic books of Ash versus Evil Dead or whatever. You still get him being like, I'm not the chosen one. And then still having to talk him into this.
Right.
Like, dude, this is your life. You get it by now. Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't want to. All right, fine. No, there's a deadite trying to pour coffee on me. All right, I'll kill him.
Should I know who this woman is, this Constance Weird?
I don't think so. I think she's a creation of the writers.
Okay, because she's the woman who compels Ash to come back into this. She seems to know what's going on. And I just wasn't sure whether she was a character from the Reanimator series that maybe I wasn't as familiar with as I should be.
You know, don't hold me to it, because I've only seen the second movie once a long, long time ago. And the third movie I've only seen once a few years ago. But I've never heard of her before.
Okay. So overall verdict on this book, Jeff, there's
you
want to keep reading it?
This I just might. Okay. I might do it, because it's like I said, I could hear the actors as I was reading it. And for that reason, I was like, well, this is like watching a movie. I enjoy this. This is great. Nice. And it leaves off with like, okay, it's set up. Now what? Oh, it's over.
Right. It leaves you with, so how is Herbert West going? Because like, he could go a couple ways here. He's the wild card. It's almost like, for me, having read enough of these books and knowing enough of the movies, like you kind of know where Ash is going. It's going to be the Evil Dead, the Deadites, Bad Ash, Good Ash. Having Herbert West in there is a bit of a wild card. They could take the story in a lot of direction.
Yep. So yeah, I can't wait to see what they're actually going to do.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk briefly about some of the other Army of Darkness comic books that are out there, because there's some wild ones out there, and we'll chat about what's next.
Please call us the Casual Comics Cast. Mr. Casual Comics Cast is my father.
All right, welcome back to our Army of Darkness spectacular here, everybody. We're going to get ready and wrap up here soon. But Jeff, I wanted to run down. So, sorry, I'm going to go reverse. We liked the comic we just read.
Yes.
Army of Darkness versus mm-hmm. Reanimator Necronomicon Rising.
Mm-hmm.
In comic book shops now, everybody. If you're interested, go down to your local comic book shop. You can get yourself a copy today. I just did of the latest cool. one. It's a pretty good series. There have been a lot of other recent Army of, not, and they're not also recent, but these are some of the cross one shots and crossovers. So there's a one shot that I kind of like that is, I believe it's called Army of Darkness, the convention special, where Ash, it's always a fan favorite, or at least a favorite of mine, when somebody like Ash winds up at a Comic-Con type event. And then, and it just so happens that there's a vintage copy of the Necronomicon at the comic convention, and some nerds recognize it and go try and find Ash and be like, you got to get down here. There's a copy of the Necronomicon at the comic convention. Ash learns what cosplay means. So it's one of those where, you know, a writer of comic books has a chance to poke fun
uh-huh.
at that, you know, fans of comic book stuff.
Sure.
In a loving way. There's actually an Army of Darkness sketchbook, which is fascinating to me. Ash's Christmas horror special.
Oh, very nice.
Army of Darkness, Ash saves Obama.
The audacity of Ash.
Not sure. I mean, I might like to read that. That's a 4-issue series. And it was meant to be a commentary of how many comic books were coming out with Barack Obama in them after Obama's election. Army of Darkness, Ash for President one shot. Ash is told by the Necronomicon that one of three candidates in the 2016 presidential election is actually a demon known as the Great Darkness.
Hmm. Well, wonder who they were focusing on with that one.
And Ash has to discover which candidate it is. So there was an older Army of Darkness reanimator that took place in part of right during continuity after a series called Ash or Army of Darkness Shop Till You Drop Dead. So there's a prior Army of Darkness versus Reanimator. If you want to explore
really
that, if you get through this one, you're like, hey, maybe check out what they did before. There is a 5-issue miniseries, Marvel Zombies versus the Army of Darkness, Darkman versus Army of Darkness.
Now, two different Bruce Campbell properties.
Was Bruce in that?
He's at the very, very end. He's Darkman at the very, very end.
Is he? I didn't
know that. Yeah, because he escapes from his girlfriend and he turns and looks back over his shoulder and it's Bruce Campbell.
Ah.
Making his little cameo in Sam Raimi's movie.
Right. Yeah.
But that's another one that I just absolutely adore. I love that first movie. The rest of them, who cares? The first one was just wonderful.
Really? I didn't know you were such a big Darkman fan. I mean, it's a great movie.
Oh yeah.
Interesting of its time. It was like this time where like comic book movies were just starting to get big.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sam Raimi was like, oh, I'll just invent one. Check this out.
Well, he wanted to get the rights to one, but he couldn't. And I can't remember if it was The Shadow or something else. I can't remember. But so then he just said, you know, I'll just make my own.
Makes sense. This one ran 4 issues. August of 2006 through March of 2007. I'd love to check that out and figure out like how those two franchises come together.
Mm-hmm.
Might be interesting. Freddy versus Jason versus Ash, which was widely known. It was it's based on an unused script. So there were tons of rumors in the day that it was right after Freddy versus Jason, the movie came out. Uh-huh. That there was going to be a sequel, Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. And there was a script that was written for the movie and the movie fell apart in the development stage. I don't know why. I mean, it was rumored that it was coming out for a long time. I remember I was like, I'm not a huge Friday the 13th fan, but I will go see Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Yeah.
It fell apart, but it's a 6-issue miniseries leveraging the unused script from that film.
Very nice.
It was popular enough that they did Freddy versus Jason versus Ash, the Nightmare Warriors, a sequel to that.
Oh, no kidding.
Would you have seen that movie in the day? Freddy versus Ash?
You know what? If I had been married to my current wife, my brother-in-law and I would have happily gone to that movie together because he is a massive Friday the 13th fan.
Really?
Yeah.
That's such an interesting franchise to be a fan of because...
Yeah. He used to have parties, watch parties, and he'd have a blackboard in the room and they'd like sit there and keep track of all the kills and how they happened. Yeah, he's really into it.
Sounds like a good time. I mean, I can't I can't blame anybody for their fandom. It's just such an interesting, I guess maybe when the first few came out, I was like, I didn't find Jason to be like a compelling villain like Freddy Krueger was.
No, it's neither like, is Michael Myers, really. I mean, no. there's really, they're just faceless killing machines.
But it's like I said, before Evil Dead 2, I saw that late night. I wasn't a fan of horror genre in general, which would have included Friday the 13th and the Halloween series. After Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ash, there's an Army of Darkness Xena crossover.
Because why not?
I can see that, in that they just, you know, the, in Army of Darkness, he travels back to 1300, right? So
yeah, and he gives the Xena yell during Army of Darkness too.
Right. That's true. That's a, you know, because that's a, I think Raimi and Tappert were producers on Xena also.
Yeah, it's all in the family there.
I'm looking at plot summary. 4-issue miniseries concerns Ash traveling to Xena's dimension in order to stop a miniature version of himself from destroying that world. It's one of the little mini Ashes, I guess.
Of which there were, what, 5 or 6 of them in Army of Darkness?
And then they did 2 more Xena Army of Darkness crossovers. Danger Girl. Are you familiar with Danger Girl?
No, huh?
It's a IDW publishing property. That was in 2011. Hack Slash was an interesting comic book series. The main character, I think her name is Cassie Slash, as I think she is. She's a monster hunter. Her and her lumbering sidekick are just basically a monster hunter. So it makes sense that you do a crossover with Hack Slash.
Sure.
Both Dynamite Entertainment properties. Army of Darkness Reanimator one shot in 2013. Ash goes back to a graveyard in the 1920s, where he has an encounter with Herbert West there.
Yeah, the H.P. Lovecraft Herbert West, no doubt.
Right. Vampirella Army of Darkness.
Oh, wow.
Vampirella, I only know from the costume.
That's all you need to know, right?
I guess. I don't know much about Vampirella. But these all like are also Dynamite comic properties. So it makes sense that they just keep smashing together. And then 2019 Army of Darkness Bubba Hotep, which...
I mean, Bruce Campbell properties together.
They got Bruce and Bruce together.
Nice.
And then Bad Ash probably shows up at some point. are any of those like sort of like, you know what? I'd check that out.
Maybe the Bubba Hotep. That could be fun. Could be a lot of fun.
Did you like that movie?
I saw it once and I thought it was a quirky little quiet independent movie. And I kind of liked it. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
And that's directed by the guy who made Phantasm, Don Coscarelli.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I met the guy.
Did you? Oh, get out of town. You met Coscarelli?
Have I not told you the story about me and Don Coscarelli becoming best friends?
No. Do tell.
I had come back. It was when I was living in Ohio. And I came back to visit family in Omaha. And I had nothing to do one evening. You know, it was one of those where I was staying with family. And I'm like, I got to get out of here for a while. But nobody that I knew was around to do anything with. And so when I was in Columbus, my big deal is I'd just take my laptop to the movie theater. I'll see what's playing while I'm sitting here in the lounge. Alamo Drafthouse has a nice lounge. Sat in there. I don't know. I got there like 4 in the afternoon, 3:34. Opened my laptop, started doing some work. I wonder what's playing. I wander out into the lobby of the theater and there's just a guy setting up a table with books on it. And, you know, he's just hanging out. I went back in the lobby, looked up some movie times, or I went back to the lounge, looked up some movie times, got bored, wandered over to the lobby again. And now the guy's just sitting behind the table with his books. And I was like, introduced myself. And it was Don Coscarelli. He's sitting there. They had a Phantasm re-release. Phantasm was going to be playing. He had his table set up and he had all his merch and he's just sitting there hanging out. Apparently his book signing didn't start for like another 45 minutes. So him and I just sat there and BS'd for like 45 minutes.
Nice.
And I didn't even know that it was a deal when I showed up to the theater. I talked to him for a while and then I noticed at one point we were just engrossed in conversation. I look over and there's like a huge line that wraps all the way back down to the theaters.
And you're hogging the main attraction all to yourself.
And the rope isn't open yet for people to come in for the signing. I was like, I probably got to get out of your hair. He's like, no, this is fun. It's good to talk. And I told him that I've made some bad movies. You know, we were catching up. He filled me in on a lot of his interesting stories. And I was like, I've been in your hair all night. I'm sorry, Mr. Coscarelli. I'm going to get out of your hair here, get you some rest before you. And I'm like, it looks like you had a lot of people here to see you. I was like, but let me buy one of your books because I took up so much of your time. I don't want to. So I bought one of his books. And he's like, how do you want me to sign it? And I was like, can you sign it? Sand Sharks is the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life. And he did. He's like, to Joe, I love Sand Sharks. That is the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life. I have it sitting over here on my shelf right down here.
Nice.
My story of meeting Don Coscarelli. And then I was like, I've been talking to him so long, I'm like, I got to go use the restroom. And as I walk down the hall to go to the restroom, I just run into my friend Dean Lundberg. People in Omaha, anybody, almost everybody in Omaha should know Dean. He's like the biggest movie fan. And he's just standing in line to get his Steelbook DVD 4K re-release of Blu-ray of Phantasm signed and a couple other things. And the showing was sold out. And I was like, Dean, I didn't even know. He's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm back in town. I hadn't talked to him in years and years. And he's like, yeah, my buddy who's supposed to come see Phantasm with me tonight bailed. Do you want his ticket? I was like, sure. So I got and watched Phantasm. That's the kind of things that can happen, people, when you leave yourself open to the whims of the universe.
Yeah, no kidding. That is so cool. Great story.
I should have asked him about the Bubba Hotep comic book. No, but he's a genuinely really, really nice guy. And I think that's what he's there to do his book signing. He's just bored. Got to talk to somebody.
Right. No, it's nice.
Yeah.
You have a way of meeting these people just going up and saying, hey, how's it going?
I didn't know who he was even when he was setting up. He was like setting up and I started talking to him. And then it's like, oh, I'm like, oh, hey, what's going on here tonight? He's like, oh, I'm doing a book signing. I'm like, oh, you're doing a book signing? He's like, yeah, I'm Don Coscarelli. I'm like, oh, hey, I know you. It's just,
yeah, you met Werner Herzog at Comic-Con.
Be free, man. Go out, explore the universe, have no plans in mind, talk to people and see where life takes you. That's all I can say. There's never a plan for it. Never a plan.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, well, with that story, we'll wrap our discussion of comic books, except with one last closing question, Jeff.
Yes.
If you could pick a property, an existing property, to be in Army of Darkness / crossover.
Mm-hmm.
What would you read? What would be your one? You'd like, I'd read that.
You know, I would be the take my money meme immediately if they did Army of Darkness versus or meets What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, that's a good one.
I would love that.
But as a comic book, I guess as a
sure,
comic
why book, not? Why not?
I think that's a great idea. You really came up with one there, Jeff. That would be like the perfect theme. It'd be awesome. You made me think about it. You could probably cross over Army of Darkness with I don't know, the Munsters and get a pretty good one too.
The current Munsters?
Maybe he could saw them up with his axe.
To be fair, I haven't seen it yet. So
I've seen the trailer and I think I've already seen 2 minutes too much of that movie.
Disco Nosferatu. I'm like, really, really, that's what you're doing? Okay.
Well, I like that answer, Jeff. That's a good cool. one. I definitely would because you could look at a picture, an artist rendition of Matt Berry on the page and hear that voice come through.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, what would you pick?
I think I actually when I was considering it, I thought, you know, well, you and I last time we talked about a comic book, I think we were talking about Wrong Earth.
Yeah.
And we read the Wrong Earth. What was it? The teen something teen?
Stuck on Teen Planet.
Stuck on Teen Planet. I'd love to see an Ash Williams crossover with like the 1970s Super Friends, like where he shows up and it's just like or you know, the Archie comics, just like out of place, out of time, but he's probably running around Riverdale,
yeah,
hacking on every babe.
Oh sure.
Zombies show up. I think there's something there that you I like. Yeah. Your answer better though.
Betty and Veronica don't stand a chance, baby.
You know, him wanting to return to the wholesome life of Michigan.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up for us today, folks. Thanks for joining us for this Army of Darkness special. If you like the books, check them out. Go to your local comic book shop and support them. Support your independent booksellers. We really recommend Army of Darkness versus Reanimator Necronomicon Rising, and maybe we'll do a recap of it when the series ends, Jeff, and just let people know how it turns out.
Sounds great.
Thanks for joining me today. Thanks for finally watching a movie 30 years in.
You did it. Caving.
Cross that off the bucket list.
Yep.
And then get on to Reanimator 4 or whatever it is next there.
Oh, if only. Yeah.
All right. Cheers, Jeff.
Cheers, buddy. And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter at Casual Comics Guy, at our blog, casualcomicsguide.com, or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.